You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In June, biologists from the Boise-based Peregrine Fund put a tag on a baby Aplomato falcon in southern Texas. It was the 500th bird to be banded there in the last 24 years. These birds disappeared in the U.S. back in the 1950s, but then in the 80s and the 90s, the Peregrine Fund, with help from collaborators, started work to bring the birds back. Baby birds were hatched in Boise at the fund's headquarters and then released in Texas. New nesting platforms were built for the birds to keep great horned owls from eating young falcons. State agencies and landowners chipped in to help with habitat work. Well, now all of that work is showing progress with the ongoing recovery of the Aplomatos. Joining us live in studio today to talk about the program is Erin Katzner. She is the Director of Global Engagement with the Peregrine Fund. Good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Okay, so I hope I'm saying it right, but what is the Aplomato falcon?
You've got it right.
Okay, so what does it look like? Tell us about.
Okay. Yeah, they are hands down one of the most beautiful falcons out there. They're kind of like a cross between a peregrine falcon, like we have in downtown Boise, and an American kestrel, like many people see in their backyards.
Really?
Falcons. Yeah. So they're about halfway between the two in size. And they have the gray markings that a peregrine has, but they have when they're in human care, like at the World Center for Birds of Prey, our birds have this beautiful buff color that is opposite of the darker gray stripes. And that buff color in the wild actually turns white because it bleaches out in the sunshine. So they look different at the World Center than they do in the wild. And they have really long tails, kind of like in comparison to their body size, kind of like an American kestrel. They're very agile in the wind with that long tail, that long rudder that helps them. And we actually fly one in our free flight show that
we do
at fall flights every year. I wanted to bring her today, but she just was not quite.
She wasn't
ready.
Having it today.
No,
that's all right. So outside of the work that you do, are they only found in Texas then, like in the wild?
Well, right now they're in the United States. They're only found in Texas. They are also found from Mexico down into South America. So basically what happened was in the 1950s, they went extinct in the United States. And when a species becomes extinct in just a certain region of its habitat, we call that extirpated. So they were extirpated from the United States, but they were still in the wild in Mexico, Central America, South America. And so the Peregrine Fund decided that, you know, we didn't want this species to be extinct in the United States. That doesn't look good for us. We want to make sure that we have our wild environment intact. So we started breeding Aplomato falcons right here in Boise at the World Center for Birds of Prey.
So do you have any idea why they went extinct in the U.S. in the 50s?
We do. Yeah, it was absolutely from habitat loss. So as humans moved into the areas where they lived, we changed the landscape, changed especially the plant life on the landscape. And the yucca plants that they require for nesting were no longer found there. So we, what we had to do when we reintroduced them to Texas is we actually had to put up nesting platforms for them. And we found pretty quickly that the nestlings were being eaten by great horned owls on those nesting platforms. And so that's why these yucca plants are so important. They have these thick fronds that protect the nestlings. The great horned owls can't get into where the nests are. So what we did was we put a roof on the nesting platform and bars that were spaced just wide enough that they mom and dad Aplomato falcon could get in to take care of their youngsters, but a great horned owl wouldn't fit. And that was a game changer for the species. And
so habitat is critical.
Habitat is critical. And so habitat's still a problem. You know, we're still relying on these nesting platforms to keep the population going. But we also are working closely with landowners now to convert some of their property, some of their ranches back to native habitat. And it's really exciting. I don't know if you know this, but in Texas, only 1% of land is publicly owned. The rest is all privately owned.
That's it.
Yeah, it's almost opposite from Idaho.
Right.
And so working with public landowner or private landowners is really important. It's a really important part of success for this project.
So how does Boise then fit in with all this? Because the birds live in southern Texas. So
right.
How come you would hatch the birds here and then send them down back down to Texas?
It's a good question. So we have the expertise to hatch them here. So that is the reason why we did it. We gained that expertise when we were recovering the peregrine falcon in the 1970s and 80s. And we have all the breeding facilities up here at the World Center for Birds of Prey. And so we decided, let's do it here. We can always take the birds down. It's not too far to get them to Texas. It's easier than trying to ship a bird internationally
right.
for release. So it just made sense that while we have all the staff here that can do the breeding, we'll do that here. And then down in Texas is where the release would happen because that was their native area.
So if you hadn't done this part of it in Boise, do you think that you would have been able to recover this bird in the United States?
I don't think so. No, the captive breeding part of this project was really important to the success. So that's something that people in Boise and Idaho ought to feel really proud of. You know, it's the membership that drives our organization. Without our members, we wouldn't be nearly as successful as we are. And the majority of our members come from right here in Boise and Idaho. So really, the success of banding the 500th Aplomato falcon nestling is owed to the people of Boise.
Is that a good number, or would you like to see more?
We definitely need to see more. They're still listed as an endangered species, and there's a critical threshold that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has determined a number that we need to reach to be able to take the species off the endangered species list. But this is a good step in the right direction. And, you know, this project has been going on for years, but it's being successful. We're seeing things happen that we want to see happen. We're seeing the population of Aplomato falcons in the wild moving in the right direction. And so it just goes to show that it's really important to be patient and give conservation the time that it needs to be successful.
And that's a good point, because it's taken 24 years to get to that 500 number.
Right. And this is a great story of hope as well. You know, a lot of times conservation seems hopeless.
Right.
And you think about rhinos in Africa and how can we combat those problems. But the reality is that when humans cause the problem, we can solve it too. It just requires the time, tenacity, the teamwork to make it happen.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today and talking about this and letting us know about this project.
Thank you for having us.
We've been talking with Erin Katzner. She is the Director of Global Engagement with the Peregrine Fund about the ongoing recovery of the Aplomato falcon. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today for Idaho Matters. My producers are Samantha Wright and Frankie Barnhill. Our associate producer is Hannah Gardosky. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It is Thursday and it's a little bit smoky out there, but I still hope you can enjoy the rest of your day. And of course, we'll see you back here tomorrow.